tonight to Revelation chapter number 3 this evening. Revelation chapter number 3, and this is a familiar passage of Scripture to probably all of us tonight, but don't let the familiarity rob you of a blessing tonight. And amen. All of the Word of God is wonderful, and all of the Word of God is good, but sometimes you have certain texts that just seem to have just a great amount of truth in them, and you can just continue to mind those things out. And I'm glad that the truth of the Word of God is ageless tonight. Amen. And it's true for every generation, and I'm glad we can draw strength out of it tonight. Amen. Revelation chapter number 3. Go with us, if you will, to verse number 14. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14 tonight. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." He says this, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." You pray with us and for us tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for this place, Lord, we have to come and gather around your word tonight. I pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts. God, we know full well what shape the church is in this hour. But Lord, nonetheless, we know, God, that you purchased the church, Lord, with your own blood. God, you love the church tonight, Lord, as you declare in your word tonight. And Father, I pray, God, that you'd help us tonight. Lord, that you would strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to be busy about the Father's business in this hour. I pray that you'd help us to awake out of sleep. And God, would you speak to some heart tonight? Lord, maybe there's someone lacking in their commitment tonight. Maybe lacking in their devotion. Maybe lacking in their walk tonight. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would, Lord, indeed give us ears to hear and a heart to receive the word of God tonight. And you said, if any man hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church tonight. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Would you help us? Lord, would you help us to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Lord, to edify the saint tonight, Lord, and to lift you up and to magnify you tonight and exalt your holy name. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We know in the opening chapters of the Revelation, of course, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, but we find that the Apostle John is writing this letter, and the Lord opens up and he begins to speak unto these churches. Now, we know and we understand that many writers and many believe that these churches represent different points within the church age, and nothing wrong with that. That's okay. But we need to understand tonight that these were literal seven churches of Asia Minor. They were real churches with real people, with real pastors. And evidently from the letters that we read tonight here in the Word of God, they had real problems tonight. Amen. And the Lord speaks to each one of these churches, but it seems that he has maybe the swiftest and the strongest rebuke for the church at Laodicea tonight. We find in verse number 14, we find his description there. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write," notice what he said, he says, "these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Before he says anything concerning the church, he speaks about himself, and he is the Christ tonight. Amen. He is the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God tonight. Amen. And may I encourage you tonight, long before you ever begin to look around at the church and pick the body of Christ apart and think about the problems that we have, may we take one more glimpse at Jesus tonight. Amen. May we set our eyes and set our affections upon the one who died and bled for us and died and gave himself for the church tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ describes himself in verse number 14 to this church. We see his description, and then we're given insight into his desire in verse number 15. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. But notice what he said. He said, I would thou wert cold or hot tonight. Amen. How many of you know and understand this, that God is a God of absolutes tonight? Amen. God is not a God that causes a question mark to be put over things tonight. God is not the author of confusion. And I'm glad tonight that our Lord says what he means, and he means exactly what he says tonight. And he rebukes and he upbraids this church, and he identifies them tonight, letting them know that he knows their works. He knows that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would thou wert cold or hot. But I see his description, his desire, but then notice his disgust in verse number 16. The Bible says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And I know you've heard this tonight, but that gives the idea of vomit. That gives the idea of throwing up tonight. And he said, because you are neither cold nor hot, you're neither one side or the other, but you're there lukewarm. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, Laodicea tonight, it means the rule of the people or ruled by the people. And even how they are addressed tonight by the Lord Jesus Christ points to this fact. The church of the Laodicean, because of their self-sufficient spirit, Jesus said that he would spew them out of his mouth. In other words, this was a church that, we could say this without doing any damage to the text, this congregation and their works and their attitude made God sick tonight. Amen. Because of that self-sufficient spirit, because of that lackadaisical and lazy attitude, because of the lukewarm identity that they had, Jesus said that he would spew them out. This was a church tonight where the message of a cross was not denied, but it was not vital. They could talk of a gospel with dry eyes and blank expressions. And as we look at this church tonight, we know and we understand that they did have labor tonight. We can't accuse them entirely of being lazy, because the Lord Jesus Christ points out in verse number 15, he said, I know thy works. They were busy doing something. And understand that there may be a building on every corner, particularly here in the South, and there's a whole lot of noise and a whole lot of racket. You can't accuse them of being lazy, because they've got anything that anybody wants and anything that is possibly offered in this generation. It seems that you just take your pick among the churches in America specifically. They'll have what you're looking for tonight. Amen. And so they were busy, but they were just busy in the wrong way tonight. Amen. And I got to thinking about this tonight. They did have labor, but the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes them and he upbraids them tonight. And as we look at his description of them tonight, I thought about this. They may have had labor, but they did not have any lordship tonight. Amen. This is a church that had fallen out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. They were happy with their riches. They were happy with their wealth. They were happy with their possessions. They were satisfied with where they were tonight. Amen. And I want to preach on that thought tonight, on having labor without lordship, on having labor without lordship. Our church tonight, you take for example, our church, I would say, is a busy church. Our church is a church that labors tonight. Our church is a church that goes after sinners. Our church is a church that has certain activities, and we have different things. And I'm glad that the emphasis here is placed upon preaching and placed upon worship. But even in an atmosphere like this, and even though you are identified with a body such as this tonight, it is possible to grow cold and indifferent. It is possible to backslide on a church pew. It is possible tonight, very, very possible, particularly in the generation in which we live, in the hour in which you and I are standing tonight, it is so easy to fall out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had labor without lordship. Notice first with me the obvious point concerning this church. Number one, Jesus highlights their carnality. Notice in verse number 17, he said, "Because thou sayest." Now, this is what wasn't just some unchartered indictment against them. He was using their own words and their own statements and the attitude of their heart against them tonight. He said, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked tonight." Jesus was calling them out on the carpet, so to speak, because of what they had said. "I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not," he said, "that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Now, do we fit that bill tonight? Do we fit that description? You say, "Preacher, now I would never ever say to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I'm rich and I'm increased with goods and I have need of absolutely nothing. I'm content and I'm happy and I'm satisfied with where I'm at tonight." Friend of mine, you may never say it with your lips, but you and I are guilty of saying it with our heart, and we're guilty of saying it with our actions, and we've grown cold and indifferent on the Lord tonight. Amen. They were self-sufficient. They were self-reliant. They were rich and increased with goods, but they had need of nothing. Out of all of the churches, this church, out of all of the seven churches of Asia Minor, this church was the wealthiest. You say, how do you know that tonight? History tells us this, that in AD 60, the city of Laodicea burned to the ground, and they built it back with no outside help. They didn't have to seek the surrounding nations. They didn't have to borrow from another city. They didn't have to become indebted to anybody else. They built the city back without anybody's help tonight. Jesus identifies them tonight as wretched. He said they were wretched tonight. They were rich. He said, they said, "I am rich and increased with goods." But what did Jesus say? He said, "Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." They were wretched. Their money was not a blessing to them, but a burden. Why? Because it kept them from closer communion with God. They were satisfied and suited with what they had, so they had no need to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were miserable. Others envied them. Others wanted to have what they had, but yet here the Lord Jesus Christ is, and He is pitying them tonight. They were poor. They had wealth upon the earth, but they sadly had none in heaven tonight. They were blind. They had physical sight, but yet they were spiritually blind tonight. They could not discern the word of the Lord, and they could not discern the message of Christ that He was giving unto them. They were naked. They were well-dressed with the world's fashion. Their closet lacked nothing tonight. Their wardrobe was the finest at that time in the world, but yet spiritually they stood naked before God tonight. Amen. Friend, listen, we are living in such a carnal hour. We're living in such an indifferent hour tonight. And listen, I'm not even talking tonight about the contemporary movement. I'm not talking about you being in danger of changing Bibles. I don't think that our church struggles with that. There might be somebody here tonight that secretly in your heart, the lull and the drawing of the world and the drawing of Satan is at work in your heart and life. Oh, but listen, I think the greatest battle that you and I face tonight is not the carnality and the corruption of the world, but I think that it is a lukewarm spirit and being cold and indifferent and calloused on the things of God tonight. They said, I'm rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Well, that's where we're at tonight. Amen. Now, before you give your rebuttal and you say, well, listen, I'm not really rich tonight. Compared to the large percentage of the rest of the world, you are. And I are tonight. I am tonight. We don't know anything about great difficulty. We don't know anything about really having to do without tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes them and upbraids them because they depended upon what they had rather than who they had tonight. We see their carnality, but then we see their counsel in verse number 18. What does Jesus say to them? He said in verse number 18, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That was his answer tonight to them saying, I am rich and increased with goods. He said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich tonight. And they said this, they said, that they have need of nothing. He said, and knowest that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So he counseled them to buy of him gold. He counseled of them to have fine white raiment that they may be clothed and that the shame of thy nakedness would not appear. And then he spoke about them anointing their eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. There was a specific powder in this region of the world that this area of Laodicea was known for, and they would take that powder and they would turn it into medication, and all over the region and all over this part of the world they were sought out because of that medication that would help people's eyes. It fought infection and other things like that. And here they were, they had all of these goods and they had all of these possessions and they had the ability to help other people tonight, but simply they could not help themselves tonight. And so Jesus offers them counsel. He offers them riches, gold, tried in the fire. I believe that speaks tonight of our rewards at the judgment seat. Their motive had been blemished by much increase tonight. We see their riches, we see the raiment. They were clothed in the rewards of his service. That is what he desired for them. This church was in a region well known for its desired fabrics, and Jesus Christ did not want them to stand in blame and stand reproachable before him at the judgment seat of Christ tonight. But then we see the remedy. There was eye salve to be given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ for vision and direction. Now here's the principle from it tonight. Here's what Jesus is counseling them to do. Number one, if they would acknowledge their poverty tonight, Jesus said, I have riches. If you'll acknowledge your need tonight, if you'll acknowledge your spiritual poverty, if you'll acknowledge your carnality and your coldness and your callousness and your indifference tonight, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ has everything that you need tonight. Rather than laying up treasures in this life, rather than depending upon the wealth of the world, he said, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. If you'll acknowledge your poverty, he said, I have riches. If you'll acknowledge your nakedness, he said, I have clothing. If you'll acknowledge your blindness tonight, he said, I have eyesalve. He tried to counsel them. He tried to send them in the right direction. He tried to tell them exactly what it was that they needed tonight. But then notice with me their compensation in verse number 20, or look at verse number 19. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Leonard Ravenhill said this tonight. He said, the last command of the Lord Jesus Christ was not the Great Commission, but he said the last thing that Jesus told the church to do in the Word of God was that the church was to repent tonight. Well, we don't want to hear that, do we? Well, we live in an hour where it's difficult to convince the world, much less Baptist people, that they've done anything wrong tonight. Amen. They'll use statements like, well, I just don't see anything wrong with this tonight. I don't get the big deal about that. But understand tonight that if it keeps you from the Lord and it corrupts your walk with Him, then it is a very, very big deal tonight. And as we grow cold and indifferent, and as we grow callous, sometimes our conscience can become seared with a hot iron, and we really don't see anything wrong with anything tonight. While the world and the devil and the flesh rock us to sleep, Jesus tries to get their attention, and the motive tonight of it is love. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Notice in verse number 20, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me tonight. There was an invitation given by the Lord Jesus Christ to this church. Now, here's the tragedy of it this evening. And while we use it, and there's nothing wrong with this tonight, and while we use this as an evangelistic push and an evangelistic drive towards sinners, that's fine, that's wonderful. Jesus said that I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, we can preach that as a mode of preaching the gospel to sinners. But understand, the context of this tonight is to the church. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Here's the tragedy of the verse tonight. Jesus was on the outside of a body that he had bought and purchased with his own blood. He was on the outside of a body that he desired fellowship with. He was on the outside of a crowd that he had given his all for, and he stood on the outside knocking and trying to get in. And up to this point, they had disregarded his voice and disregarded his call tonight and left him on the other side of the door tonight. Amen. The sad fact is Jesus Christ is here at the door of his own body and his own bride and his own church, and he's having to knock on the door and try to gain access to what's his. There's an invitation concerning faith tonight. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. Amen. That is a good prerequisite to the promise tonight. Thank God. He said, if any man hear my voice. He didn't just outline it for the pastor. He didn't send it down to the committee of deacons. He's not just talking to the Sunday school teacher. But I'm glad tonight, if any man hears his voice, any man has the opportunity to open up to him tonight. And you and I are just going to have to decide in this carnal hour that though none go with me, still I will follow tonight. Thank God there is an invitation that has been given to any man tonight. And the question I have for you is, will you be the one to open the door to him tonight? Amen. There's an invitation concerning their faith. You know, it takes faith tonight to get back to where you need to be. Well, we'll listen to the lies of the devil, and we'll listen to the carnality of the world, and we'll listen to even those who once stood where we stand, and they're backslidden, and they're afar off tonight, amen, and we'll start to believe the lie that, boy, it can't ever be like it was again. I can't ever get back to where I was. The fellowship's never going to be the same. That feeling that I had at one time, it'll never be the same, and I understand that it's not about a feeling, but there are times that we draw comfort from the presence of the Lord tonight, and we wonder, will it ever be like it was again? And I'm glad we have the answer in the Word of God. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man opens unto me, I will come into him and will sup with him. And so there's an invitation concerning their faith. He said, any man tonight. And then we see the intimacy concerning their fellowship. He said, I will come into him and will sup with him. We know what that is tonight in the South. That's the supper table. That's the place of communion. That's gathering around the table tonight. Amen. And I'm thankful for that picture tonight. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he pulls up to the table, you and I are on the other end, and we're able to break bread together, and we're able to fellowship. Amen. That's something that the world will never have. Amen. That's something that just the lost religious crowd will never have tonight. Oh, but if you're saved tonight, thank God you've been given the special privilege of pulling up to the table with Jesus and fellowshipping with him and hearing words that the world can't understand and hearing promises and receiving the word that the world doesn't know anything about tonight. Oh, thank God one day I was able to scoot up to the table and receive the invitation that Christ laid out before me tonight. Amen. We see the invitation concerning their faith, the intimacy concerning their fellowship. How is your fellowship tonight? Amen. Last week when we dealt with Nehemiah tonight, we kind of dealt with along those lines, and I really don't want to sound like a broken record tonight, but I'm so glad that you can have fellowship with the Lord. And if your fellowship with him is not what it should be, I'm glad that it can be what it needs to be tonight. Amen. So with the invitation concerning their faith, the intimacy concerning their fellowship, but I'm glad that he included this. He included the inclusion concerning their future tonight. Amen. He said, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. But then he gives this promise in verse number 21. He said, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches tonight. Amen. There was an inclusion concerning their future. He said in verse number 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. You understand, as you go through these churches, there were some that faced martyrdom. There were some that faced persecution. There were some that faced Satan coming in and setting up a seat within their church. They faced all different kinds of things. And down through the generation, every church's battle was different. And we come now to the church of the Laodiceans. We come now to this modern age and this modern era. And while we may not be in faith, while we may not face persecution yet, and while we may not face Satan trying to get an entrance into the church yet, the battle that is set before us tonight is the battle not to become cold and indifferent and become lukewarm tonight, but to stay on fire for him until we see his face, until he comes and gets his bride, not to be lukewarm, not to go the direction of the world, but to keep our zeal and to keep our passion and to keep our drive and to keep our fire and keep on serving the Lord tonight. Amen. He's worth serving. He's worth serving tonight. He's worth living for. I don't know what lie the devil or some lost religious person, amen, or some contemporary preacher, amen, or some backslid Baptist tonight. I don't know what lie they've tried to tell you. Oh, but listen to me. He's worth serving tonight, amen. Listen, I don't have anything to go back to. I met him as a 14-year-old boy, and I hadn't got into a whole lot of stuff by then, but I've done more to go to hell for since that moment up to now than I did ever before I knew him. But he's been gracious and he's been merciful and he's been wonderful tonight, and he's worth serving. I have nowhere else to go. To whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Who are you going to run to tonight? Who's going to treat you this good? Who's going to bless you like this? Who's going to save you like he did? Who's prepared for you what he's prepared for you? Thank God we get all this and heaven too tonight. Amen. He is worth serving. Amen. He's too wonderful for you and I to remain lukewarm tonight. Amen. He's too wonderful for you and I to come in here on a Wednesday night, or a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or what have you, revival meeting, he's too good for you and I to just come here and stare at each other tonight. Amen. He's too good for you and I to rob him of his glory. He's too good for you and I to rob him of his praise. He's too good to rob him of a life that is lived serving him tonight. Amen. Boy, isn't it so good to be saved. What's wonderful that you and I get to go to heaven tonight. Amen. We get to spend eternity with him. And listen, I'm not enduring being saved. I'm enjoying being saved. Amen. This is the greatest life that you and I could ever live. A life lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened tonight? He promised them in verse number 21. He said, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Now he mentions his first coming and his second coming. Where do we find the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ? He said in the middle of the verse, "Even as I also overcame tonight." Amen. Jesus told his disciples, he said, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world tonight." John said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world tonight." Amen. And I'm so glad that you and I are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm glad that we're conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he came and his first coming was concerning a tree. Amen. Thank God he lived a perfect sinless life. He took our sins upon himself as our precious lamb, and thank God he carried them away as our scapegoat. Amen. Thank God he bore our sins all the way to Calvary, and thank God he overcame death, and he overcame hell, and he overcame the grave, and he overcame Satan, and he overcame the world, and he overcame the flesh tonight. Amen. He said, "Even as I also overcame." And because he overcame, you and I are overcomers tonight. Thank God he overcame the mirth and the sin and the shame of Calvary tonight. And God let him sit down at the right hand of majesty on high. He overcame the cross. So his first coming was concerning a tree. But then here's what he said. His second coming is concerning a throne. I'm glad he's not coming again for a cross. I'm glad he's not coming to be despised and rejected of men. I'm glad he's not coming as a meek and a lowly shepherd, having to veil his glory before men. But thank God he's coming as King of kings and Lord of lords. And he said, "Even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." You know what he's telling this church tonight? He's telling them, you have a part in that. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul taught us about our position in Christ tonight. Amen. His first coming was concerning a tree. His second coming is concerning a throne tonight. He promised them this: if they would overcome the temptation of the age, he would grant them eternal rewards in his presence tonight. Amen. Won't it be wonderful tonight to be able to receive those crowns, to be able to receive those rewards? And understand tonight, it's not our motive to keep those. It's not our motive to turn and look at one another and say, "Look what I got." It's not the motive to sit and admire those crowns, but it's the motive tonight of every blood-washed child of God to receive those crowns and immediately bow down at the feet of our Savior. The fact that you and I could get a reward on his behalf, the fact that you and I could serve him in the church, the fact that you and I could be saved, the fact that you and I could take the glorious news of the gospel. Listen, we could be anywhere else tonight. We could be anywhere else in this world. We could have been born into poverty. We could have been stricken with some disease in a third world country and lifted our eyes in hell. But thank God he let somebody come and take the gospel to us so that we could be saved and give the world the greatest message that it's ever known tonight. Amen. And because of him, that's why we're here tonight.
Because of Him, that's why we serve. Because of Him, that's why we preach. Because of Him, that's why we love our neighbor as ourselves. Because of Him, that's why we have a burden for sinners. Because of Him, it's why we do what we do tonight. Amen. And everything that we are, everything that we'll ever have, and everything that we'll ever hope to be is because of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. I don't want to grow cold and indifferent. I don't want to be lukewarm. And I'm ashamed to say that there have been times in my life where I've just had to come clean with God and say, God, I'm not where I ought to be. I'm cold. I'm indifferent. I don't know the messages that preacher will have in his heart to preach before the Jubilee. But wouldn't it be good tonight before we went into that meeting and before we went into those days to just get our hearts right with Him tonight? If you got animosity, if you got bitterness, if you're upset and mad that something didn't turn out the way that you thought it would, you've got your eyes on other things tonight. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, as the songwriter said. Set your affection upon things above. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Maybe even now He's speaking to your heart, giving you that assurance that He's there, that He's drawing you back to Himself. Let's stand together as they sing tonight.